Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Well, they wowed us a couple of years back playing live for our 2007 final show. 18 months later, there is a brand new album out to their name, and it's a very good album indeed too. Stephanie, Alana, Rich, Greg, Cedric, Andy, Andrew and Trent are Garage Hymnal, and a few of them are in the room right now on Open House. Welcome back again.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Congratulations on the new album as well.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's really eclectic. That's what I thought. That's the word that kind of came to my mind when I was listening to it, and kind of feeling that there was a variety of styles you'd actually, you know, woven into it. You know, it wasn't just a standard pop hit, you know. You had a lot of variety.
Well, there's eight of us in the band, and we all come from pretty different kind of musical backgrounds, and we all have our own distinct personal taste in music, and I think that really came through when we were putting the songs together and recording. So.
Okay, let's give people a listen of one of the tracks on the song. This is The Light Has Come. Listen to the previous album as well. You know, I would just say just the vocals are fantastic. You, Alana and Stephanie, I mean, it's really very strong. It's very strong singing.
Yeah. So
good on you.
Thank you.
You don't know what to say, do you? You know?
I can. Full credit to them. It was recorded live, the album, so they all those vocals that you hear on there are live. So yeah, there's no, you know, auto-tuning going on there.
Let's talk fantastic. About that, because there's actually a whole methodology to the way you recorded this album, and you had to suffer a few days, well, a couple of weeks in Byron Bay.
It's pretty tough.
Terrible. Yeah. But tell me about the process, because you had it produced by
David Nicholas.
Thank you very much.
We
was looking for his name here. He's done the Whitlams, he's done George, Midnight Oil, Sting, Delta Goodrum, and now Garage Hymnal. Must be the peak of his career.
That's been great with us.
That's now top of the list on his bio. So.
But his whole style is actually to do that live, isn't he?
Yeah, that's his thing. He's all about capturing the band performance, and that's kind of why we really got interested in his work. I don't know if listeners will know, like, normally albums are recorded layer by layer, you know, kind of painstaking. You've got to lay the foundations out with the drums and then the bass, and then 4 months later the singers finally walk into the room and they do their thing. But that's not really musical. It's kind of a massive construction project. So his thing is put the band in a room, get some magic happening, and try to capture on tape. So the way records were made in the 50s and 60s before they had the luxury of doing it differently. And we really loved it as a process.
Mm-hmm.
So what did that bring to the process? What did that bring to the album that wouldn't otherwise have been there, having probably recorded albums both ways now?
I think there's an element of spontaneity and surprise on every track that you record. So we rehearsed the album for a long time. You know, we did two intense weeks of rehearsal, and you sort of get your parts down pat. But every take we did in the recording studio had this element of surprise in there as to what was going to come out. And listening back to the album, I think there's a certain surprise and energy that you can hear in there that you just don't get when you do things layer by layer.
You really feed off one another as well, you know.
And it's really the way it should be. I mean, you really want to be capturing a band in a live performance on disc. You know, it's become very artificial and manufactured to do it the other way, and it's really been born out of convenience, I think. And
as long as the band can do it, you know, as long as you can play tight enough to actually make it a recordable set, you know.
Well, he got the whip out a lot. And just if it's not good enough, he just wouldn't let us go on to the next song.
Figuratively, of course.
Yeah, figuratively. So he just, in the rehearsals, just really had to get it right. We had to know what we're doing and take notes, copious notes, every pedal change, every patch change. Yeah, it was good. It's like a conversation which you have, which is not scripted, which is just in a room like we are now, is so much more interesting, even if it's not as polished as a script that we've put together.
I wanted to ask about that then, because if it's actually done live in you know, one or two takes, in the sense that if you don't, you know, if you did something wrong, you'd start again, but you're still doing the whole thing basically in one complete take. And are there any little, shall we say...
We're not telling.
Alana, tell me.
It sounds good. That's all I know. Now we listen back and it, yeah, I think.
Because some would say, though, that's the thing that actually brings those surprising moments. But they actually work.
Yeah.
You know, you can pull them in, you can make a little mistake, you know, it actually starts to work. We didn't expect that to happen.
Yeah, but the benefits, it just outweighs it. Like that sound and that feel, all the energy just outweighs all the tiny little errors that may be in it.
Yeah, and computers can play it perfectly. Like, all we bring to the table is our mistakes, really, in this day and age. Computers could do the job perfectly, but.
And it sort of depends on what outlook you have as to what an album should be. If you want it to be a completely perfect, smooth thing, then you wouldn't do it this way. But if you're happy to have a little bit of error, human error, mm-hmm. that brings probably a bit of, you know...
Warmth.
Yeah, it's a nice way of putting it. Warmth
well,
to it.
I didn't hear any mistakes at all. Just to give another illustration of the variety on the album, this is called Child's Play. So I really enjoy it. It's a very, very nice album. Andy, as we were talking during the week, you were saying that the difference between Garage Hymnal now compared to, say, when we spoke to you last time in 2007 was that to some degree you as a band had kind of found your voice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Expand on that a little bit about a band finding its voice.
It's really been an interesting process. So as Alana mentioned, there's eight of us now. So when we were last with you guys, there was about 40 of us and we kind of rotated through and everyone had a go. Mm. And now we've decided the way to go forward is to put eight people together in the room and share what we're excited about musically, bring our CD collection in and try to find a sound that we're all happy playing and we're all enjoying, which is a challenge and but also really fun. Like I some of my favourite CDs now are stuff that people brought in
that
in that process that I
listened to before.
And you understand so much more about other people mm-hmm. once you hear their music. And really David is the one who helped us do that and to come out with the finished product. David, our producer, just kind of, okay, here's what we would want to do, here's what we might want to do, here's all the things we could play. He had a real ear for what's going to make an album that kind of sits together and makes sense as an album. So
Greg, what kind of CDs were brought in? Who has actually influenced your sounds?
Well, this is a topic of much controversy. But I guess there's always Christian music that we like to listen to, but I would say by and large we've listened to more non-Christian music than Christian music, mainly because there are sort of a lot of production elements that push us outside of the boundaries. I think mm-hmm. if you listen to this album, and a lot of people have made this comment, it's not the typical Nashville sort of sound.
Mm,
it's
not at all.
It's quite quirky and poppy, and there are elements of soul and gospel in there. So that's something we tried to do, is to get away from that really traditional Christian sound. As for exact CD titles, can you guys help me out? I'm drawing blanks.
The Supremes, like the gospel and the soul things,
yeah.
definitely influence. The Supremes, Aretha Franklin. Help me out. All sorts of things.
Well, Steph and I are really into kind of the indie girl sound that's quite popular at the moment. So I think we pushed for a bit of like Feist and Ingrid Michaelson and names like that that are, yeah, just a little more artsy and quirky. So
we have Glockenspiels.
We're really proud of our Glockenspiel playing.
In fact, Claire, Open House producer, was listening to the album and she was saying, I wonder if there's any Sigur Rós influence there because of Glockenspiels.
Yeah, 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 definitely. That vein, yeah.
See, Claire? Just looking over the through the glass there.
She's a whiz.
She's a whiz with music. She
yeah.
is. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I've just got to throw another clip in because I really like it. One of the goals of the band wasn't just simply to produce music that people can listen to, but also for congregations, for groups, for churches, for other people to get together and actually sing collectively as well. And I think that kind of comes out in that song Hallelujah a bit too, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, one of the questions we asked when we were choosing songs for the album was, how singable are these songs and how adaptable are they to congregational settings? And so that was something that we had to consider in making that decision. And the performance that we gave on the album is probably not the way that a church would do it, but as we gig around the place, I guess part of our aim is to show how each of these songs can be done in a congregational way, and that they can all be done with just a guitar and a vocalist or piano, whatever churches have. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, recently we had all of you into the Open House Studios and we got you to record your thing live. I'm going to play that in just a little minute. But speaking of gigs, you're planning trips to Perth by the end of the year.
God willing.
Hopefully.
Yes. Yeah. And some more regional New South Wales gigs as well.
Yeah, we want to head up the coast. None of us are surfers, so I don't know if we're going to get a value out of that.
Andy pretends to be. When we were recording the album, he went every morning at 7 o'clock to the surf.
Only because the producer woke me up so I could drive him. I didn't really have a choice. so we're hopefully heading up kind of New South Wales coast, kind of Port Macquarie, Coffs Harbour.
For listeners in Melbourne, Adelaide, Canberra?
Well, send us an email. We want to come.
Yeah, we
it's
really
not, it's not
go.
That we don't want to come.
Yeah.
Waiting for the invite.
That's right.
Mm. Very polite like that. Yes. We don't want to force ourselves.
You don't force yourself on anybody, are you?
No, presume. No.
Well, garagehymnal.com is the website. But all of this, none of this music would be there, none of the lyrics would be there if it wasn't for your faith in God. This is really what drives Garage Hymnal, isn't it?
Yeah. We've just seen God be so faithful in bringing this ministry to where it is now. And I think the recording process has shown us more than ever that, you know, we are incapable of really producing anything worthwhile without God and without Him bringing everything together.
I heard there's some troubles even getting to Byron Bay.
Oh, yeah.
My car couldn't even get there. I don't know if you know the geography, but it should only, the studio was in Byron Bay, our home is in Sydney, it should have taken us about 9 or 10 hours, it took us double that, 5 minutes at a time with the car blowing up halfway, really humbling, puts you on your knees.
Yeah, but we've been able to do some gigs since the album, and just to hear the feedback, especially from youth, and to hear how encouraged they are about it, and in some cases, like even testimonies of how that's played a part in kids becoming saved, and to see that and God working through that is really encouraging. And I mean, that's why we do it, and that's why we keep getting up.
Very good. All right, well, so good to have you guys here.
Thanks, Sharon.
Thank you.
They are Garage Hymnal, garagehymnal.com.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.